Hey, y'all. Welcome to Latte and Laundry. I'm Suzanne Bilodeau, and I am so honored to be with you here as we navigate motherhood, wifehood, sisterhood, and everything in between. This is a podcast for my fellow imperfect people who want to grow in greater communion with our most perfect God. So join me and my friends as we laugh, cry, dive deep, and explore with one another as we journey towards stilling our souls while moving our world. Hey, friends. Welcome back. I am so excited to be here with you all today, especially I might sound a little extra giddy or rusty or I don't know what today because I did not record except for I think one episode, maybe two over the last like 8 weeks because I had actually pre-recorded a bunch of episodes before I knew that I'd be welcoming my sixth born. Because I was kind of preparing for the fact that I would probably need the extra pockets of time for more snuggling and I'd be more exhausted with possibly sleepless nights. And so I took a break from recording and I had aired a bunch of those pre-recorded episodes. And now I am just like, I was just itching. And there's so many times where something would flood my heart and I'd be like, oh, I just want to like talk about that and explore that. And it just wasn't the right time. Especially because, I know this could be a whole other topic we go into in another episode, but especially because this adjustment to this sixth born, I'll be really vulnerable and honest here, was more difficult than I expected, considering it was my sixth child and this is not my first rodeo. But she definitely had some belly issues and was extremely, and is, she's kind of gotten over it now, but colic, and which made my availability to have any time to do anything but snuggle that sweet girl and try to tend to the needs of my five other kids and my husband almost impossible. So I've been itching to get back on here just because it's good for my heart to be here with you. And I've been still in this hiatus, I guess, of recording. I've been receiving still so many messages from you guys, and I just feel so blessed to be in this journey with you and walking alongside you as we explore so many things like wifehood and motherhood and just our little baby steps of crawling towards this calling that we have to become saints. And I love kind of experiencing this with all of you. And I love to get on here and I call it kind of my soul dump, where a lot of my prayer life and things that God places in my heart, I just come in here. And it's just beautiful for my own soul. And I've been so encouraged that it's been encouraging many of you. And I delight in the messages. So I appreciate that. And I'm just happy to be back here. So anyways, okay. I am going to open us up with our Bible verse and then I'm going to like just jump into this topic that I think is really important because it's something that it has taken me, okay, so my oldest is 12 now, and it's taken me a number of years. It's something that I've actually wanted to talk about probably since the beginning of podcasting. And I allude to it in many ways in a lot of my previous episodes, but I feel like it's important to have its own episode here because I feel like it's something that I wish I had come into realizing early on in my motherhood than I am really realizing and like setting as a firm foundation in my heart with regards to how I perceive and receive my children. So anyways, our opening Bible verse for today is Jeremiah 1:5, which you all be very familiar with. And it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And this is something that me and one of my girlfriends was recently talking about. And it's that this fundamental truth that God has created each and every one of us, and especially our children, as I talk about it and look at it from this angle of motherhood, he has created each and every one of us uniquely. And I think it's really important to realize that God makes no mistakes, no mistakes. And this is in, you could say, well, I think on a intellectual level, many of us could probably hear that and say, yeah, of course, like God makes no mistakes and he has made us all unique. But I think a lot of times we don't realize these places in our heart that have not received, been able to fully receive the true gift of who each and every one of our children is and how they were created. And I've kind of talked about this a little bit in some of our episodes of like breathing life into our children, and just talking about different motherhood matters, just about how important it is that we speak truth into the identity of who our kids are. But I'm realizing more and more, and it just keeps coming up, especially now that I have a sixth child, how clear and evident it is of the gift and the beauty that is each and every unique person. And I think as we're raising people in this world, especially from the secular sense or in just like mainstream living, there have, since the day our babies are born, there are parameters in which we are given that are used in really important and vital ways in like the medical community and whatnot to help make sure that nothing's going amiss and that there's nothing that needs to be tended to for our very young children with regards to, are they meeting milestones? Are they eating when they should be eating? Are they walking when they should be walking? Are they sleeping as much as they should be sleeping? Are they becoming as verbal as they should be? And I am not, this is not to say that those parameters don't have a place and aren't important, because I actually think they really do, because they help identify things that might need assistance and stuff very early on. But I think for the majority of parents, we can allow the world's parameters to set up a shop in our home, a place in our hearts, where we then subconsciously compare where our children are to these ambiguous standards. So although those parameters are really important and others will be throughout our children's lives, I think how we receive them and where we operate from understanding and seeing these things can be dangerous. So, and I'm talking of, when I talk about like just like, you know, the stuff from early on, that's not even where my heart matter is here, but I just point that out because it's something that's ingrained in our motherhood from the moments our babies are born. Right? You have all, they get evaluated in the hospital, then you have these milestone things throughout their development for all the appointments you have with your doctor. And this continues on in very different ways when they start schooling or learning. And I think that's one of the things that I found so profound about homeschooling that I treasure so much, that I don't even think I realized was going to be one of the most beautiful parts of homeschooling for me. And that is how much the standard of where your kids should be at through the institutional system of schooling can put on an extreme amount of pressure, undue pressure, for a child that's just developing later. And you can say that with regards to the simple things like when they're little and, you know, a bunch of your mom friends all have babies that are walking by 10 or 11 months. And now suddenly you feel the weight of the fact that your 13-month-old isn't quite walking yet. A similar thing can happen with our kids in the school system or with their education. You can experience this even homeschooling if you're not in the school system. But I was paying attention to this like quite closely lately because one of my sons definitely is a struggler to read. His older brother knew all his letters and his sounds by the time he was 2 and was able to read a bunch of words by the time he was 3. And that was just the way that God created him. But my other son, who struggles to read, I think one of the things I noticed, he recently received his first communion and he was invited to read the prayers of the faithful, and he was so adorable and he was so cute, and he got up there all strong and proud and nervous, and he read so beautifully, but it was very clear that he did not read with the same ease as many of his peers did, who were also reading some of the prayers of the faithful and doing some of the readings that day. And I think, first of all, the fact that he doesn't see that comparison frequently made it so I think he has a confidence, even though he's a struggler with reading. He has a confidence that's beautiful and profound. And I was talking about it with one of my girlfriends recently about this. We were talking about our sons in these different ways and our different children. And I just was like so overwhelmed with the fact that God makes no mistakes. It is not a mistake or something wrong with my son who struggles to read. It is just part of how God created him. He may always struggle to read. To be honest, my husband does not, he might kill me for saying this, but he does not love reading. Like, he opens up books that he wants to read, but because I think it's not as easy for him to just read and swallow up a book as it is for me, it's not as enjoyable of a task. And so I think, like, my son who struggles to read, he may always struggle to read. And I don't mean, like, as an adult that he'll be saying his words, like, or at the capacity that he is now, he will learn to read. But he may never be a phenomenal reader. His brother may be a phenomenal reader. And I think there's something in our motherhood that somehow we see these things that might not be great in the world sense, or they're not overachievers in a certain area. And I don't mean overachievers as in the normal sense that we hear that, as I'm speaking about one of my boys who struggles to read, because he will always struggle to read, and that doesn't make him not an overachiever, because his older brother has just naturally been given the gift of being able to read very well. But we do a disservice to our children when we look at the way in which God created them as if there is an error in them. There is no error in my son who struggles to read. That is not an error of the perfect image and likeness of Christ that God created him to be. That is just part of the perfect creation that he is. And part of who he is that reading does not come easy for him. Whereas part of who my other son is that reading does come easy for him. This is not, one is not an error and one is not perfection. It's just part of the way they were created. And this goes for anything that might feel like your child is somewhat outside of the box. So I know I've been talking about things like developmentally with regards to, like, you know, from their infancy through walking, through their education, etc. But this goes into so many other things that I think it's so important for our mom hearts to receive our children for the God-given way that God has created them. Right? So, like, if your child is shy, but most of their peers in their class or in their friend group are, you know, more outgoing and sociable, there is nothing wrong with your short, shy child. And I know that we can hear this and say, well, of course I know that, but do we? Do we in the depths of our heart, especially if we are surrounded with children who tend to be more of one way and our child's a different way, we can have this tendency, and I think it comes from the protected heart of us. Like, our mom hearts are so protective and we want our kids to feel loved and treasured that we almost fear for them if they're outside of the box in any sense. It comes from this place of beauty within our hearts, but it gets disordered because when we live in this place of fear of they aren't fitting the mold or aren't fitting within the box, we can project that on our own children as if something about them and the way that they were created needs to change. So if they're shy, no, you need to become more sociable. If they're wild and energetic, you need to calm it back and be more quiet. If you're creative and all your friends are athletic, you need to get better at sports. We wouldn't say these things, obviously, to our children, but it can be this deep-rooted place in us, this fear-based place within us that doesn't want our children to hurt or to suffer or to feel left out or outside of the mold, where we can put an undue pressure on ourselves to change that. And I know we, on a conscious level, would never want to quote unquote change our children. But I think a lot of times we operate out of fear that is projected upon our children. And newsflash, ladies, I think everybody who's had babies could probably attest to this. Our children are so much wiser than we give them credit for. They can pick up on things so much more acutely than we even realize. It's like the nursing baby who can feel your anxiety that you need to get out the door and you're running late. So they're unable to nurse, only prolonging you being able to get out the door, making you even later. So the same thing goes for our children. They can sense if we feel like something is wrong with them, and not something like intensely, dramatically wrong with them, but this hidden, quiet, subtle fear that's rooted deep in our place from maybe our own wounded places that lets us believe that there's something wrong and we need to help facilitate to make our children different so that they won't hurt and they won't be in pain and they'll fit more in the box. But newsflash, God did not make any mistakes when he made your child short or tall, introverted or extroverted, creative or athletic, tender or wild. He made no mistakes. That is the perfect gift for who God created them to be. And part of our role as mama is to help facilitate for our children to learn who they are and the gift of who they are and the fullness of who they are and how God created them. There is nothing wrong with your child. And I don't mean that to say that, okay, if your child can't read, there's nothing wrong with them. So don't worry about trying to get them to read. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying to accept in the depths of our soul that this is who God created them. So instead of feeling this fear, instead of me looking up at my son reading for his first communion and feeling this anxiety and fear of my son is not reading like the other kids are reading, to acknowledge, okay, part of how he is he struggles with reading. That is part of the creative genius of who he was made to be in God's heart and mind. And we go back to our opening Bible verse, Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before I knit you in your mother's womb. God knew my son was going to struggle with reading. He knew one of my sons was going to be really creative and detail-oriented and engineering mind-based. He knew one of my daughters was going to be super fancy pants and the other one was going to be a wild tomboy. He knew these parts of who our children were. Especially, you know, I always tease that when you look out upon your children, you're like, all right, it was the same genetics, the same mom and dad. Yeah, you have the factors of birth order and who they hang out with and all that stuff. But when you look at your children, you say, all these things are the same, same breast milk, same mom and dad, yet they were uniquely different. And a lot of times you can see that from the moment they're born, how different they are from one another. And instead of looking upon them like there's a mistake or they need to fit a box better in the world standards, it's so vital that our mom hearts receive our children just as God has created them to be so that they can receive the gift of knowing their identity as beloved children of God and that there is no mistake. And I don't know if any of you, I'm sure many of you are big Max Lucado fans, but one of my favorite books that he's written is You Are Special. And the whole story is about these wooden, it's like this, these wooden dolls, but they're wooden people. And every time someone does something positive or something that the world thinks is good or an accomplishment or achievement, the other, they're called Wemmicks. The other Wemmicks give one of those, another one, a star and stick it to them. Where if they did something that looked silly or disappointing or the world just saw it as bad, they would put sticks, dots on them. And so every Wemmick went around wanting to have as many stars and not dots on them so they could feel important and special and loved and treasured. And the main character of the story, Punchinello, was very defeated and depleted because he had so many dots and no stars because he kept doing things that were silly or embarrassing or considered wrong or not good by the other Wemmicks. And so they would stick a bunch of dots on him. And then he felt so depleted and defeated until he met one Wemmick who had no stars or dots on her. And he couldn't understand, how could you have nothing on you? So she brings him to Eli in his workshop. And Eli is the man that crafted and carved and made all the Wemmicks. And there's just this beautiful line as Eli is looking at Punchinello and sees all these dots on him and says, it looks like you've been given some bad marks. And Eli defends himself and is like, oh, I didn't mean to. I really was trying hard. I wanted stars, you know. And Eli's saying, you don't have to defend yourself to me. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. And you shouldn't either. And he's basically saying, like, who are you to care? Who are they to give you stars or dots? They're just Wemmicks like you, right? Like, why are we to care what other people might think or whether our children fit into these molds or into these boxes that the world has arbitrarily created? Does it matter? It just matters how the God of the universe sees our children and delights in them. And in the book, Punchinello is surprised because Eli tells him, I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. I know you're special. And Punchinello's like, what? I can't do any of the fancy things. I can't jump. I can't walk. My paint is peeling. Why should I matter? And Eli so beautifully just says, because you are mine. That's why you matter to me. And isn't that profound and beautiful if we can receive that, believe that about ourselves first and foremost, and then also about the identity of who our children are. They are special because they are his, period. Not because they're good readers, not because they're great athletes, not because they're incredible academics or whatever, simply because they are his. And when we can really see that and understand that, we can realize the beauty of the way in which God has created our children. And that will help facilitate them knowing the truths of who they are and relishing and having the ability to live into the capacity of how God created them. And one of my favorite things about this book is the way it ends. And as Punchinello is leaving Eli's workshop, kind of with this idea of realizing that the dots and the stars can only stick to him if he cares what the other Wemmicks think, right? For that other Wemmick he saw that didn't have any dots or stars on her, it was because she didn't care what the other Wemmicks thought, and those can only stick if she cared. And that's kind of as I see as our own identities of who we are. And I loved what Eli says as Punchinello is leaving the shop. And he says, you are special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes. And if there isn't a greater message that we can give to our children, because especially for the moms of still young kids, I think I'm learning this now as my kids are starting to get older, that we don't realize how much they're going to, I mean, we know from our own experience. But right now, sometimes we're so entrenched with the daily grind of raising these humans that we don't notice or pay attention to the fact that they are constantly absorbing everything around them to set into truth and foundation in their hearts of who they are. Whether it's their relationship with us, their siblings, their teachers, their coaches, their everything, right? And their real and true identity is who they are in God's eyes, no more and no less. That's it. And that's why it's so important that we look out with tender mom hearts and look at the gift of who our children are, their unique created selves, and that God makes no mistakes. I was even thinking about it with my colicky baby the other day as I was just praying through this idea of the uniqueness of each and every one of my children, that even her colic, you know, not that God is desiring her to suffer when it had to do with her belly aches and stuff, but like I think a lot of it has to just do with her sensitivity to pain and maybe a more heightened nervous system, etc. But I was thinking about it and realizing that like even her colic, even that is part of who God created her to be. And a lot of times, I'll be really honest, even with my six, one of the biggest stressors for me about traveling around with a colic baby is not just because she's screaming and I don't want her to scream in the car, or, you know, it's just overwhelming with a colic baby. There's a lot of truth to that. But a big factor of it is I don't want to go out and about with other moms who have babies who are not colic and have them make comments, even loving, tender comments that make me feel like, oh, there's something wrong with my baby. I gotta fix this. And yes, of course, if it's gas pain or a milk allergy or something that could be causing the colic, I'm not saying don't tend to that and don't fix it. But there's angst, haste feeling inside me that's like, oh my God, I gotta quiet my baby up because they're too loud and too vocal and too sensitive to their environment. So I gotta get them quiet. It's this like angst filled place within me that I realize when I can just accept and tend to all the needs of my sweet girl, but just accept that this is part of how God created her, that she's gonna be more sensitive to stimulation, or she's gonna have a more heightened nervous system that's hard to calm and get her to sleep. If I can just look out on her and realize this is part of the way that God had created her and his unique design, then I don't feel this pressure to have her match up to what other babies are doing at the playground. And if there's just this freedom of, okay, she's going to cry. Again, I don't mean don't nurse her, don't change her diaper, or don't do all these things that obviously we have to tenderly tend to our baby's needs and all of our children's needs. But it's just this inner disposition of accepting our children precisely as God created them. And then he uses us as the gardener of his beautiful garden. He's the sun and the rain and all the things that nourish the garden. He asks us to go in and tend to that, to be his tool, his hands and his feet here to help mold the minds and hearts of our children so that in the ways that he has created them, they will be reach their greatest capacity to bring glory to him and his kingdom, right? For the wild child or the shy child or the athletic or the creative child, it doesn't matter. There is no mistake in the way in which God has created your child. So if you have a kid out there who's not fitting in the box of a bunch of his peers in high school, or a toddler who's walking later than the other babies and toddlers that you're surrounded with at the playground, or you have a child who's more wild than a bunch of his friends, that is not an error. It is only our duty as mamas to help mold them to bring glory to God, but to not hinder or feel angst or desire to change the innate ways that our children have been created. And I think when we really mold our own minds to believe the beauty of who our children are, it will begin to impact how our children believe they are. And Sally Clarkson says it so, so perfectly and simply when she says, if you believe greatness for your children, they will believe greatness for themselves. And we couldn't ask for something better for our kids. Don't we all want our children to believe their greatness and their dignity and their value and their worth as simply beloved children of God? And that they have so much capacity to glorify him and to spread his love through their actions, through their talents, through their gifts, through all of that. And so if we believe their greatness, they will then in and of themselves believe their own greatness. But if we have these angst minds of wanting to change the way our children are, or Googling or searching or trying desperately for our kids to become a certain way or not a certain way because of these places of fear within us, then we are not leaning into and believing of their own capacity and goodness and greatness. So I just think this is such an important area for us to pray and reflect on as we mamas continue to just really surrender our hearts and our minds to our Lord, to be ever present to the creation set out before us, which is our children. And for us to remember so that we can then translate that to our children, even if not using words, but solely in the way that we behave, in the way that we act, that they will know we have faith in who they are and we love them fully and wholly for who they are, and that we believe, as we know, that God makes no mistakes. And that goes for us too, right? That God made no mistake when he put that unique child in your family. You are perfectly created to be the gardener to his beautiful garden of souls that he has planted in your home, in your family. So take delight in knowing that your unique child was uniquely created to be in your unique home, being tended to by your unique soul. All right, there's a lot of unique, but you know what I'm saying. There's no box that our child is supposed to fit into. So let's go out and love our babies. Look out upon them and know that there's no errors there. There's no mistakes, early or late, to anything. Perfectly created just as they are. And I want to end with this most beautiful quote that I read by this man named Pablo Casals, who was a Roman Catholic from Spain and one of the world's greatest cellists of all time. So he's this marvelous musician, and he just has this really beautiful quote that I want to end us up with. And it says, "Each second we live is a new and unique moment of the universe, a moment that will never be again. And what do we teach our children? We teach them that 2 and 2 make 4 and that Paris is the capital of France. When will we also teach them what they are? We should say to each of them, do you know what you are? You are a marvel. You are unique. In all the years that have passed, there has never been another child like you. Your legs, your arms, your clever fingers, the way you move. You may become a Shakespeare, a Michelangelo, a Beethoven. You have the capacity for anything. Yes, you are a marvel. And when you grow up, can you then harm another who is, like you, a marvel? You must work. We must all work to make the world worthy of its children." Holy cow, that was such a good quote. I'm sorry. I feel like I've read it a few times now, and I feel like I just need to have that printed out. It's pretty long, but I need to have it printed out in somewhere in my home because I think it's really beautiful. Just a good, tender reminder of the whole point, right? 2 + 2 = 4. Pish posh. But who you are, that's the greatest knowledge that you could have. And so I'm going to wrap us up here. And I just, again, I'm so happy to be with you guys here. Thank you again for all the encouragement. And if you have any specific questions or just want to reach out, or any topics you're interested in hearing, please feel free. Again, Suzanne@latteandlaundry.com. And I will be praying for you as you journey in just your wifehood, your sisterhood, your motherhood, in all the ways in which we fill these different roles in this life, that we can all be given the gift of recognizing who we are and our identities as beloved children of God first, his daughter first and foremost, so that we can give our kids the strength to know who they are, the firm foundation of their truest identity, and that they were perfectly made and no mistakes. All right, friends. Well, this has been fun, as always. And I can't wait to catch up with you all next week. Bye.